Thanks, Ben. Father, we're so thankful for our lives and for you and what you mean to all of us. Father, we're so thankful for what you've done for us. And Father, this morning is not our time. It's not my time, but it's your time. But Father, so often in our lives there's distractions and there are things and obstacles that get in our way and things that try to discourage us from you and focusing on you. So this morning, Father, we just ask that you make your presence known, that you help us, Father, to remove those things that distract us. Whether it be our jobs or whether it be money or relationships or people, whatever it is, help us to focus on you. Father, help us to focus on the power that rose Jesus from the grave. And Father, help us to realize that that's the same power that is going to raise us from the grave. Father, thank you for the blood of your Son that we remember as we took supper with you and as a family. Help us to not forget. We come here to remember you, to remember that power where our hope rests and lies. Father, we all want to be with you in eternity. And so, Father, we just ask that you give us what we need this morning and this week to live so that we will be with you in eternity. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. And I just ask that you help me, Father, as I speak to my family, the church, about you, that the things that I say are true and that they please you. And Father, if there's anything that I say that is wrong, I ask that you teach me otherwise. Thank you for your church, the most wonderful family in the world. And Father, let us never take them for granted, but let us love them more each day and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You know, in the first century, there was no grave deep enough. In the first century, there was no stone that was heavy enough. There was no power that was strong enough to keep Jesus in the grave. You know, 2,000 years later in our life, there's no grave deep enough. And there is no power that is strong enough. And there is no stone that is heavy enough to keep Christians in the grave. And so, that is why we're here this morning, and that is why we rejoice, because of what God has done in Jesus Christ through His power and what He's going to do for us, His people, Christians, the church. You know, as I get older and as I live more life, the more good I see in people. I don't just mean the church. The church is good. Christians are good. We know that. We do a lot of good things. But I just mean people in general. There's a lot of good people in the world. There's a lot of good people who do a lot of good things. People who care about our best interests. And who will put themselves to the side and do whatever they can for us to do good to us. There is a lot of good people. You know, when we got back from our vacation to Cancun, I had just put all of our luggage in the trunk and I noticed on my windshield wiper was a note. And on that note, it said, "Sorry, my name is so-and-so, but we accidentally backed into your car and they ended up smashing the front fender." And I thought to myself, what good, honest people. They could have left. They didn't have to stay there and write a piece of paper and give the information so that I could get that fixed and taken care of. That's a good person. There's a lot of good people in our day today. And you know, it's a great comfort and gives our nation hope when we meet people like that that are good and that do good. But you know, as I get older and as I experience more in my life, the more bad I see in people. There's a lot of bad in people today, isn't there? I mean, we don't have to look very far to see that. Yeah, there's a lot of good, but there's also a lot of bad. We watch people who live in our nation as if they are the only ones who exist. We watch people who live and care only for themselves and nobody else. We drive around in our cars through cities and places and we see poverty. We see abuse and addictions. And we see violence and we wonder, is it ever going to end? Is the bad ever going to end? And it's a great discomfort and it gives our nation doubt for the future when we see and watch people who live that way. So we ask the question, what can we do about the good and bad in life? As a church, what can we do? What can I do as an individual about the good in my life and about the bad that is in my life as well? Is there any hope for us and for our future? As Christians, sure, we know there is. But what can we do? There is good in our day, but there's also bad. I was last week wrestling around. I didn't know what I was going to preach. Sometimes I come down to crunch time. And it was Thursday, and I was sitting on my computer, and I was looking at my email, and all of a sudden, this gray box appeared in my screen. And it said, "Hi, my name is so-and-so. Come over here and look at these pictures." And I knew by the wording that it wasn't good. I said, "You're not going to fool me. Devil's at work again." And so I go up into the corner, and I clicked X. And I thought, that's all that there was going to be, but all of a sudden another box appeared. But this time in big bold letters it said, "Free internet pornography, click here." You know, that really upset me. It's one thing if you invite that into your lives. It's one thing if you pay for that and you participate in that and you enjoy that. It's another thing when it creeps in without you wanting it and expecting it. I was very upset, and I know you, those of you who have experienced this, it's upset you too, because you don't believe in that. But you know, I began to think how many people have internet access in our world? And then I began to think how many young people, innocent people, have that same thing pop up as they're looking on the internet, "Free internet porn, click here." You know, I was talking to somebody recently. Actually, I've talked to two people that said they read that 70% of internet use is for that. Can you believe that? I don't know if that's true, but I've heard two people say they read that. I don't know where. If I find out, I will read it. But they said 70%. That's serious stuff. According to the American Foundation, 53% of teenagers said they have come across websites with this material. More than 91% said they had stumbled onto it while studying for school or just searching the web. Young and old, our children, as they are studying for school, as they are preparing their reports and all kinds of things, they go onto the website and this pops up onto their screen. You know, I don't know what your experience has been with this. This is the first time that happened to me. You might see it appear quite often. I don't know. And I don't really enjoy talking about it. But one thing I do know is Jesus hates pornography. He hates it. And God hates it. And it's not just something that is new in our century today. There was pornography. Yes, pornography in the first century. It was a problem even in the church. Yeah, it was wrapped in a different wrapping. But there was pornography in the first century. And family and friends, as the church, we've got to protect our hearts. And we've got to protect our homes from this stuff. We really do. You know, Peter said, he in an urgent cry in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, he said, "Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and strangers, to abstain from fleshly lusts." Get away from them, because Peter says they cause havoc and wage war against the soul. Peter knew the conflict. Peter knew the seriousness of the battle. John said it another way, "For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life." He said it's not from the Father, but it's from the world, and the world's passing away. And also it's lust, but the one who does the will of God, he said, abides forever. Family, let us never forget the wages of our sin. Paul said, remember, it's death. But you know what? There's another side of that. Let us never forget the free gift of God that is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There is hope in Christ. And you know, there was bad and is bad in our day, but there was also bad in Paul's day. As I said, this is something that is not just new to us today. Matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, turn open to the book of Galatians. Some of you are very familiar with this and know this passage of Scripture very well. Galatians chapter 5. But Paul deals with this topic. And of all people, Paul understood the conflict. Paul understood the war and the battle of good versus evil. And we know that because at one point in Romans, Paul says, "The thing I don't want to do, I do, and the thing that I do, I don't want to do." He didn't say it exactly like that, but that's what he was talking about. There is a battle, there is a warfare that is going on. Paul understood that. So what can we do? Well, let's find out. Verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh," Paul said. "For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition, they are against each other," or one another, "so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit," Paul said, "you are not under the law. But the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality," or yours might say sexual immorality, "impurity and sensuality." Paul said, verse 20, "idolatry and sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies and outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions and factions, envying and drunkenness and carousing and things like these, of which I forewarned you," Paul said, "just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." You know, I find it very interesting that the first word, those of you who know a little bit about the Greek language, the original language that this was written in, the very first word that Paul mentions in that section is the word porneia, or porneio. That's where we get our word, what? Pornography. Paul was dealing with that in his day. And this isn't the only place. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth. These are believers. These are Christians, good people. And it wasn't just in the world that they were struggling with it. They were struggling with it in the church. For Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, "It is actually reported that there is immorality among you. An immorality," Paul says, "of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles. That someone has his father's wife." That was in the church. That was a serious problem that Paul was dealing with. But I want to remind us all that the problem with this lifestyle is, Paul says, those who practice these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. They cannot, Paul said. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul said, flee immorality. Get away from immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside of his body. But the immoral man sins against his own body. And Paul said, for the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. That's bad. And that sounds bad. But you know what, family and friends? As bad as people can be, as bad as life can be, there is absolutely nothing that is too bad for the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Doesn't matter what we have done. Doesn't matter what people are involved in, including, yes, pornography. Nothing is too bad for the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And we thank God for that. And we praise God for that. Look at Galatians again, if you would. Galatians chapter 5. As bad as things are, God always leaves the good with us. And we always find out that the good is in His Son, Jesus, and only Him. For there's no other name, we know, that Acts says that men are to be saved under heaven. It's Jesus. We're saved under Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. So God always leaves that for us. And that's the blessing of the hope that we have and the world has in Jesus. Let's continue to read Galatians chapter 5. After all these bad things, Paul mentions the good. Walking by the Spirit. He says, and these are Christians, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Walk in love. He says, it's joy and peace and patience, verse 22, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law, Paul said. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and with its desire. There is the solution. Walking by the Spirit, as Paul said, walk by the Spirit and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. And he said in chapter 6 and verse 8, But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. We walk by the Spirit and we reap that life that God promised from the very beginning. So as bad as anybody can be and people can get, Jesus left a lifestyle with us that can change anybody. Anybody. One other scripture real quick. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Sometimes I talk to people who they really do believe, and they really do believe they're too bad to have a relationship with God. Have you ever met a person like that? I have. They will really tell you that you just don't know what I've done. You don't know the kind of things that I've been involved in. The thoughts that I have and how I lived when I was younger. And there's just no way that God is going to accept that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for a minute. Verse 9. Again, this is the church Paul is writing to. And he says, or do you not know, verse 9, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. And then he mentions them, fornicators, idolaters and adulterers, effeminate or homosexuals, thieves and covetous, nor drunkards or revelers or swindlers. He says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he goes, and such were some of you. Some of these Christians had that very lifestyle. Involved in that life of homosexuality and other kinds of things, swindlers and drunkards and so on. Perhaps even again, pornography. But then he says, but you were washed. You were purified. You were sanctified. You were justified in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You know, that tells me, family, that anybody can please God if they choose to obey Him and walk by the Spirit. if you obey Him and walk by the Spirit, you can inherit that life that is in Jesus. So what do we do? What can I do? What can you do as an individual? Let me leave these two points with you this morning. Let's be fruit inspectors. That's what we can do. Be fruit inspectors. And not only be fruit inspectors, but feed the Spirit. As Paul said, walk by the Spirit. You know, when Kelly and I go to the grocery store and I go into the produce, I just run in there and I grab any kind of fruit. It doesn't matter to me. And I take it home, and sometimes there's bruised bananas and other things. But Kelly, when she goes into the produce section, she checks everything. She inspects the fruit. She wants good fruit, not bad fruit. So she takes the time and she inspects it. Family, that's what we have got to do. We have got to look at our lives and inspect it and see what kind of these areas do I struggle with. And I know for myself, I can look at each one of these and see something that is a challenge for me in my life. Your struggle might be patience. I want to encourage you, take a sticky note or something this week and write the word down. Put it in your pocket, put it on your desk, pray about it. I struggle with patience, Lord. I come home and I yell at my children and my wife, or I yell at my husband. I have a bad attitude at work and I yell at the people. Lord, I need to have a long fuse, not a short fuse. Will you help me? Practice it. Walk by it. That's what Paul is saying. Family, let's remember that there is hope for the future, and that hope is Jesus. Jesus and Him alone. He's the anchor of the soul. But if we do not obey Jesus, we can't inherit that kingdom. And if we don't walk by the Spirit, we can't reap that life. That's what God says in His book. I want to leave you with a story. Some of you may have heard this story before, I'm not sure, but there's a story that I heard about a little boy who was having terrible nightmares, very bad dreams, and he didn't understand why. It was a dream of two wolves that were battling within him. He couldn't sleep at night because of it. And one of the wolves was a good wolf, and one of the wolves was a bad wolf, so he went to his father because he didn't understand the dream and the nightmare. And he went to his father and said, "Father, I'm having this dream about these two wolves, and it's a bloody mess, and it's scaring me. I can't sleep." And he said, "I want to know, Father, which one's going to win?" And the father looked at his son and he said, "The one that you feed. The one that you feed is going to win." Family, let me say this. If we walk by the flesh and feed the flesh is going to win. But if we choose, as I know you do, to walk by the Spirit, God promises us the Spirit is going to win. I don't know where you're at this morning in your relationship with God, but if you have not denied the flesh and obeyed the gospel by being baptized into Christ, we leave this time for you to respond to Him. Don't wait until it's too late. Come to Jesus this morning as we stand and sing the invitation song. Hear the sweet voice of Jesus.